So thank you. If you're visiting with us or you're first time here or whatever, we are an elder-led church. The three men you just saw standing here are the teaching elders. We kind of rotate through. It was Dwayne, Andy, and Chuck that were here with us. And so today it's an Andy day, so you have me preaching to you today. And I think it's another twofer week. Somehow that always works out again. So we're beginning our BBS week, and I'm always kind of the guy that's helping out with BBS. I think I know how to do a hammer, and they have me make things. But I help out with VBS as well, so then I'm going to help as we, next Sunday will be a special Sunday for us. This one's a little special, right? A little different than normal for us. And next Sunday, the VBS kids will lead us in worship. We'll have the VBS songs as we worship together, and we'll hear the story of all the things that the kids learned this week. Hopefully, they bring their families with them, and then I will join in and finish up with that on our sermon time. So to do that, this week's VBS is actually focusing on Psalm 23. How does it start? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? And then down in verse 5, it says, it ends with this statement, my cup runneth over, in the King James, right? My cup overflows. And as I was looking at the scripture we're on today, in Colossians, we're an expository church, right? We're going verse by verse through the book. Last week we started chapter 3, verse 12, and today we're going to end chapter 3, verse 12. We had so much there, we had to kind of break it up. But as we go through that, I was thinking, looking at the words and the meanings of that verse, and coupled with it was just Psalm 23, and my cup overflows. Because what we're going to see when this is, that my cup overflow, it demonstrates God's love for us, right? We just got done singing. It's kind of interesting that as I preach, I know the context of the sermon, so I get to pick songs that go with it. You know, sometimes they don't get that opportunity, but I knew what I was going to preach on, and I thought, I want to end with the song, How Great Is Your Love? How high, how wide, how deep, how long. The second verse, the first line of that second verse, if you remember, it says, we were objects of mercy that should have known wrath. I'm filled with unspeakable joy, right? And that joy, that idea that is this, why I titled this sermon, when we look at these scripture, my cup runs over. And when your cup runs over, that even in when the psalmist was writing, when David was writing Psalm 23 is attributed to David as the author of that psalm. My cup runs over. It's because God loves you. High, wide, deep, long, more than you ever know. As we were looking through the scripture, we were sharing notes back and forth this week. You know, Chuck was like, make sure you do 1 John 4. Do 1 John 4. All right, I'll do 1 John 4 about 9 different times. We can love one another. Why? Because he loved us first, right? And that is the key of this. When we look at it, we're in Colossians, and we kind of just finished, you know, chapter 3 is where the whole practical stuff starts to come in, right? Stop doing this, start doing this, you know, this is the way husband, wives, children should act. There's a lot of the practical stuff, but we have to come from that, from understanding our God, and that my cup runs over. He loves us so much. He did so much for us. God demonstrates his character and his love by the way he treats us. His loving kindness to us is abundant. And abundance is what causes it to run over. Right? You got too much in your cup, more than can fill in your cup, and it runs over. What are you doing with this stuff that's running over? Well, it gets on your floor, it gets on your shirt, but hopefully it gets on your neighbor too. And that's how we're going to look at this scripture in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, understanding that if God loves me so much, he is my God, when I look at what he calls me to do, because we're going to start getting to the put-ons, right? We've had all the put-offs. Put off the sexual morality, idolatry, put off the slander, put off talking bad to each other. Stop it, right? And now we're getting to the put-ons. And so, let me show you, click. There we go, okay, good. So where I'm Let's stand together. Sometimes we stand together and read that since it's such a small scripture. We're going to stand together and read it today. You're probably going to stand 6 or 7 more times today, but you'll love it. You'll keep awake that way. Let's just all read this together. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Thank you. You can be seated. When you look at that, Chuck took us about, that's what it's there for. You know, it's there for, you're going to put it on because you're God's people, right? And so now I've got the second half where it's pretty much the list. The compassionate hearts, the kindness, humility, meekness, patience. So when I looked at that, I thought, you know what? Understanding that my cup runs over and my God loves me, let's begin with my 3 points. They don't rhyme this week, but they all start with the same first letter. So you got to have, you got to have some pattern. We make fun of that, but it really is just the way your mind works. If I give you something that rhymes, you'll remember it. And if I give you something all the first letter, you can kind of remember that as well. So today, we're going to look at 3 things. First, we're going to rejoice in His abundance. Rejoice in His abundant love for us. We sang about that, right? We're going to rejoice that He loves us. And He loves us to the point of overflowing. That's what an abundance is, right? And an abundance means more than you need. He is more than we need. We should rejoice in that. And from that rejoicing, we're then going to reflect His abundance. You should be a reflection of what He does for you. The way the Lord treats you and the way He considers you, you are to reflect that same character of God. And when you reflect that character of God, with that abundance, you're going to do the next one. You're going to react to that abundance, because we are to the point, especially in this chapter 3, folks, there's instructions. Put it on. Do this. Treat them this way. Act this way. Speak this way. There's instructions to us. And we need to react to all this that we have. So let's begin. We're going to rejoice. Let's rejoice first. How great is His love, O Lord, right? Objects of mercy that should have known wrath. There's a handful of favorite lyrics, and that's one of them. I can just sing that over and over again. God, I'm an object of Your mercy. I should have known Your wrath, but I'm filled with unspeakable joy. Riches of wisdom, unsearchable wealth, the wonders of knowing Your voice. Rejoice. Colossians 3, kind of interesting. Colossians 3, it actually has groups of 5. If we go back and look, right now there are 5 things to look at. And these are the first 5 put-ons. And it's kind of interesting. I just noticed this stat, right? If you look back in the put-offs, the first in 3-5, there were 5 of them. There were 5 put-offs. Put-off, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. These are things about your heart, your body. In your heart, in your body, God calls you, put off this stuff. This should not be part of who you are. Put it off. And then in 3:8, guess what? He gives us 5 more. Groups of 5. And then in 3:8, He says, now, put these away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. These are how you treat the people around you. Stop it. Right? How do you interact with your fellow people? Don't be anger, don't have wrath, don't have malice, don't have slander, don't have obscene talk. So we've got 5 put-offs of you, your heart, your flesh, put that off. We got 5 put-offs of how you treat with each other. And today, we get the positive side. And it's 5. I'm a math guy, and I saw 5 and 5 and 5. I was curious. God just does things this way. Because why did He pick this 5? Because it was 5. Is there more to God? Is there more that God's going to call of us? Yes, right? I've always said that Scripture is not exhaustive of God. Scripture itself says if we were to write down everything Jesus did, the whole world wouldn't hold it, right? Scripture is not exhaustive of God, but Scripture is sufficient, complete, and perfect for us, right? Everything you needed to know about him that he wanted to tell you, he put it in the Scripture. He ordained it to happen in the Scripture. He will reveal to us, right? No eye has seen, no ear has heard what he has prepared for us. That's what the Scripture tells us. There's more coming that we even can think about. But right now we got these five. And these five are how you, Christian, treat those next to you. The person to your left, the person to your right, behind you, in front of you, whatever, right? You should have compassionate hearts. You should treat others with kindness. You should have humility towards others. You should have meekness and gentleness towards others. And you should act with patience. That's the one that hits me right about here. Like David's stone to Goliath hit him right here. Patience. Yes, dear, I'm working on it. Patience. I'm working on it. All right. The five positive practices are all how you treat and interact with others. How do you love others? And we do that because we are loved so much by our God. We can return back first to him and then to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. What is the Shema? What is the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second one is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And from these are based all the prophets and all the scripture, right? Everything comes from that. So when we look at this, why? Why should we have and how can we have compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience? Because our God is compassionate. Our God is kind to us. Our God was humble. He took on flesh. You know, when he took on flesh, it wasn't just for the 30 years. The God of eternity humbled himself, took on flesh, and will have that flesh for eternity. That's how much he loved you, that God humbled himself and took on flesh. He's gentle and meek, and he's long-suffering with patience. So, again, I wrote it down again, 1 John 4. We can love one another. Why? Because he loved us first. You get it? Is it in your head? The other thing is, again, the chosen, holy, and beloved. Again, that's you are chosen. You are chosen by God. I'll say it again. You were chosen by the God of the universe to be with him. That's an abundance. You are holy. Holy means it does have this without blemish idea. But it also has this idea of set apart for a certain purpose, right? Something that's holy is distinct, separate. That's why the angels and the cherubim fly around in front of the God, the Father, just saying, holy, 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 all these things holy. He is so distinct, different, set apart, without blemish, but that distinction has a special purpose. Guess what? You are holy. It's not just that you are now in his eyes without blemish, but you are set apart. You're distinct, you are his chosen, you are a holy people for him, and you're beloved. He loves you. Can you feel it? He loves you. You have an abundance. For we are God's masterpiece. This is Ephesians 2, the New Living Testament version of it. I love it. We are God's masterpiece. When he created man and got man and woman together, he said, this is very good, right? We are his masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ. Why? So we can do the good things he planned for us to do a long time ago. His masterpiece is not just to save you and make you clean and holy and pure with him, but he calls upon your heart, you're going to go do stuff. You're going to do stuff that looks like me. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. That's what his abundance gives us. Jesus demonstrated these five characters. Jesus was compassionate to us. Jesus was kind to us. We'll come back to this humble, meek, and patience. Compassion, let's look. What is a compassionate heart? We're a quick one to look. Compassionate heart is tender mercies. You've heard that, you've seen scriptures having tender mercies. That's a compassionate heart. It really means love and concern for others, especially those in a time of need, right? You're compassionate when someone next to you is in need. That's when your compassion comes forth, right? God looked at us. What did he say? Yeah, you have a need. You have a need. That very good thing? Yeah, it just got all messed up, right? You have a need. He's kind. Thank you. Kindness. It's moral goodness, integrity in treating others. It's meeting the needs of others without harshness. The word that was actually there in the Greek is kind of a combination of kind and good mashed together. Right? Doing good and being kind to another. Humility. Humility is one of those, sometimes we think humble. I'm going to give you a definition of humility that says you're coachable. A humble person is coachable. What do I mean by that? That's actually in high school and college, athlete got, lots of things. I remember when I was in ninth grade, my coach gave out an award, and it was just a stupid little plastic trophy, one of those like $1.97 plastic trophy. But on it, he put most coachable. That's my treasured trophy. Of all of the other things I've got, that's the one that hit me right here. Because my coach says, you know what? You listen to me and you do what I ask you to do. That's humble. I'm not in charge. God's in charge. That's what humility is. Christ was humble. He humbled himself and took on flesh. He also humbled himself and said, okay, not my will, but thine be done, Father. Humbleness means I'm not in charge. I'm listening. And when we're humbled with one another, we're not setting ourselves with arrogance or setting ourselves aside from others, but depending on the Father for leading, we are not in charge. Meekness is also being gentleness, and I want to think, meekness, we can think of this, okay, meekness being soft, controlling, but it really means controlling strength. There's a difference between being gentle and weak. A weak horse is weak, can't do anything for you. A gentle horse? Brother, you've got some gentle horses, right? But you know when they want to pull on something or when they want to go, they can go, right? Gentle doesn't mean you don't have any power or strength. It means it's under God's control. It's not weak, it's gentle. And our Lord is gentle. He's gentle to us because he is the God of the universe. And when he says, I'm going to go, we're going to go, right? And finally, patience. Patience can be just simply defined as endurance, tolerance, persistence, stamina, the thing Andy doesn't have, forbearance, lack of complaint. Okay, I'm working on it. He's working on me. That mold, sometimes the potter takes the clay and smash. Okay, try over. All right, I'm trying to be patient. Long-suffering, he's working on me. He's working on me. I'm getting better. I know I am. Yes, you're supposed to say I'm getting better. Okay. Really, patience, if I want to give the opposite, it's the opposite of short-tempered, right? The world is short-tempered when someone is short-tempered, so this means when you are patient with one another, you're long-tempered. Is that even a word? You get the idea. You're long-tempered, right? You have patience. You can endure what's going on. All right, so because our God is that to us, we have an abundance. God is all of these things. We have an abundance to us. We can rejoice in that abundance. Now, because my cup overflows now, we should reflect him. What he is, what he does to us, we should be reflecting that. We should be showing that. We should be dealing with that with one another. Christian character reflects Christ. Because in Colossians, we just had the little phrase, Christ is all and in all. And I think this reflection maybe... it was been a clear night a couple nights back, and the moon was out. What was the moon doing? Shining, right? You know the moon is just a big rock, and it has no light of itself. The only reason we see a shining moon is why? It's reflecting the sun. The only reason you look good is because you're reflecting the sun, S-O-N, right? You should be reflecting his abundance. Everything he does for us and gives us and the glory and the beauty of what he has done, we should be reflecting. Ephesians 4. Okay, put off your old self. We got that set aside. Which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And be renewed in your spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self. This is the punchline for us, reflection. Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You should reflect and look like, you are created to look like God. Can you do that? Wait a minute. I know me. Simple answer is, he's working on me, right? But you are created after the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness. His call to you is to reflect what I am to you. That should be the abundant, come from the abundance of Christ. All of this is keyed from, if I peek, we're in Colossians 3:12, but if you peek forward two more verses to verse 14, it begins with, and above all of these, put on love. Agape, right? It is the God's love. That is the key to all these other oriented traits that we are to put on. You have received so much, you are to share from the abundance of your heart. Because, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Pretty simple. So again, if we go back and review real quickly, I think we did that, but real quick, I want to go back and review. I'll get there. There we go. Go back and review the compassion heart. For compassion heart, God love. What's John 3:16? For God so loved you. He has compassion. What do you do? I had compassion on you. I sent my son. Kindness. I think probably the simplest and most clear definition of God's kindness to us is called mercy and grace. Right? Mercy is being kind to you when you deserve to be punished, right? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. That's kindness. Grace is giving you something you don't deserve. That's God's kindness. So God's kindness to us, mercy and grace. His humility, I think I just touched on the fact that our Lord took on flesh for eternity for us. And he said, not my will, but thine be done. For meekness and gentleness, I think Philippians chapter 2, it says the verse, being in the form of God, taking on the form of a servant. Although Jesus was God, he took on the form of a servant and came to us as a gentle lamb the first time. The first time. The second time he's coming. Remember I said he's not a weak God, he's a gentle God. And the second time he's coming, you're going to see his power. You're going to speak a word and everybody's going to fall over. And he's patient towards us. I think 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is patient towards us, not wanting any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. We are in this time of common grace because our God is patient. He has done his salvation work. He said it's finished. And the Spirit is going from person to person to person to saying, believe, 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 believe. And he's patient towards us, desiring that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance and understanding who he is. All right, now I get it for. So that's abundance. If we rejoice in his abundance, my cup overflows, and we can reflect that abundance that he's given us, my cup overflows, what does it really look like? And this is where I would say, okay, you need to react to all of this abundance that he has given us. Turn my page. Couple scriptures. James 1:22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. In Luke, Jesus said, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. There's some practical things about your sanctification. We have this, we've been striving week after last, I don't know, 6-7 weeks. Like, it's about knowing God. It's about understanding his wisdom and his knowledge. It's about getting it in your heart, getting it in your head. Know God, know God. You got to know God. And then he says, yeah, and then you got to do it. It's just like in Matthew 7. We know the wise man on the rock and the foolish man on the sand. I mean, listen to the key words Jesus said. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on a rock. A couple more scriptures later. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. What's the difference between the wise man and the foolish man? They both heard it. They both witnessed. They both heard it. They both had it come under, could listen to the words of God. What's the difference? The wise man did what the word said. The foolish man didn't. I mean, the sheep and the goats, it's the millennial kingdom. What's going to separate the sheep from the goats when that time comes? It's what they did or did not do. It's the evidence of that. The transformation of our mind by the word manifests itself into the fruit and good works of our Christian character. Our character is the effect of the cause. Right? This is the cart and the horse thing. The cause is the knowledge and wisdom of Christ. When the knowledge and wisdom of Christ comes into your heart and your mind, that causes the effect of your Christian character, your good works, what you do, how you reflect what God is, how you react to what that is. The cause being the knowledge and wisdom of Christ, the effect is we show forth the character of Christ in our responses and actions and deeds of all that he does. In order to get the effect, we need to be doers. All right. I have some helpers today. I thought I'm going to make an exercise for us. It's kind of like if you have this fresh bread, and my helpers can get some of this stuff out. Look, Chuck had a pipe. I brought food. All right, I have food. All right, we came and we baked this stuff this morning. I was hoping that the whole room would smell like the fresh baked bread, you know, the kitchen did, but the rest of it, but you all know this, right? Gavin, come on up here, Gavin. This is Gavin, everybody. He's my helper today. So it's kind of like, look at my notes real quick. Yeah. You all have had, you know, fresh baked. We baked this morning, so this bread is what, like a couple hours old. You can smell the bread. You can appreciate the bread. Does it look pretty good? How's it smell?
Pretty fresh.
Smell pretty fresh, pretty good. You can look at it. You can hear about it. You can see it. You can even touch it. Touch it. Yeah, you can touch it. You can appreciate it. I can listen, and I can say, oh, look at that marvelous bread, fantastic. Go sit down, Gavin. All right, come back. What's the deal? Does he get any nourishment from that bread? Touch it, osmosis, nope. Osmosis doesn't work. Looking at, smelling it, nope. He gets no nourishment. He gets no action. Nothing happens by looking at it, talking about it, seeing it, doing it. Look at it, looks pretty, right? Looks pretty good? Yeah. You think he's going to be hungry if I tell him to go away? What's he have to do? Good man. Like, I want you to get a big hunk. Yeah, there you go. Now, he has to actually do what?
Eat it.
Consume it. Make it be part of it. You can take it back to your seat now. Good. You have to not just be hearers of the word. It says, man shall not live on bread alone, right? But every word that comes out of his mouth. He put those two things together, and I want us to put these two things together. So actually, my helpers, I have bread for all of us. I want you all, this is a little exercise. If you are gluten sensitive, the handle is gluten free. The rest of it's not. Get up, come up, come get some bread, folks. Come grab one. This is not Lord's Supper bread. This is just eating bread. This is nourishment bread. I want you to get up, and I want you to move, and I want you to grab one, and I want you to eat it, and I want you to chew on it. Because you're supposed to do what the Lord has called you to do. You're supposed to do his actions. In Matthew 4:4, that's where Jesus said, he was being tempted. He said, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He was actually quoting Deuteronomy. But this bread, I want you to get up and do it. Grab two if you want. Eat some bread. I want you to do it. I want you to exercise. You walk. In John 6, he said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. You want to just grab some? Here, grab a hunk. Somebody just grab a hunk off that. Just pull it right off there. Grab some. Yeah. I guess I should eat some. Just pull it off. All right. Are you getting the physicality of this? Are you getting that you actually have to get up and do something? Exercise that I'm showing us. We are to listen to the word. We are to know the word. We are to listen, to read it, study it, memorize it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. We know this. We know the wisdom of God. We have the knowledge of God. I have bread in my mouth and I can't talk. We are to do. And we're getting into Colossians and maybe the whole rest of chapter 3 is a lot of do it. I want you to remember, I actually had to stand up and go eat the bread. Because if you didn't eat it, it did no good for you. Now you have a little bit of nourishment. You can go, I can preach for another 20 minutes. You can wait for lunch for another 20 minutes, right? More bread. But I hope that I wanted you to move. I wanted you to get up. I wanted you to do something, because our God is not just an intellectual exercise. His call to you and his abundance in your life is not that. I have a beautiful paragraph I wrote. I got to read it. The Word of God is not just a beautiful piece of literature to be savored and enjoyed. Its purpose goes beyond provoking thought and inviting meditation. It requires more than memorization and sharing with others. It requires that, but it requires more than that. It demands a change of heart that prompts a change of behavior. The word of God is to be obeyed. If you love me, Jesus said, you will obey my commandments. He calls us to one another, have compassionate hearts, meekness, gentleness, patience. This is where I need to do a quick little set aside caution. There are counterfeit acts, things that look like good stuff but aren't. As we began in Colossians chapter 3, it says, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, not on things of this earth. Beware of counterfeit acts. The acts of the flesh, ultimately bad fruit. It things that do not honor God, not a good work that gives glory to the God in heaven, Father in heaven, a mind that might be set on things below. Some of the things that we do may have a noble sounding, a noble meaning, but they're trash. It is the, and in the end, it is bad fruit and fruit of the flesh. So, how do you know the difference? You know God. The more you know God, the more you show. Your good works come from the knowledge of His will, His mind, and His understanding. Let's end today with Colossians. I'm going to go back to the beginning of Colossians. When we first started this book, now that we've kind of come through this, I understand the knowledge and wisdom of Christ, and He says, you know what? You got to put it on now. You got to put it on. You got to eat the bread. It's time to do it. If we go back, this is where He started in the ninth verse of this book. And so, from the day we heard, He heard of the Colossians' faith, right? From the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with what? The knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Okay, we've been beating you over the head. You got to know God's will. Got to know God. Know His knowledge. So, to do what? To walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You're supposed to do it. You're not supposed to just know it. You're not supposed to just sit here and say, oh, I listened to Andy. I understood half the things he said. You're supposed to have that come into your heart. Your heart's to be changed. You're going to be overflowing with abundance of God's love, and you're to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what His call to us is when He says in verse 12, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Let's pray. Father, we come to You. We're thankful to You that You love us so much. We're thankful that You are our God. We are Your people. You have made a way for us that our hearts can even believe in You, Father. Your Spirit has given us the ability to understand You and to see You, Father. And if anyone's in this room where they're not there yet, Father, You're calling their heart. I pray right now this is the day that as we say, come on up front, they'll talk to me and say, you know what? I need to be in Christ. We pray for that, Father. And I come to You and I thank You that You called so many of us in this room that we can be those that are in Christ, in Your love, being filled with Your love, have an overflowing abundance of Your love, that we might love those next to us. And in all these things, we give glory to the Father's in heaven, and we bless Your name, and Your will be accomplished with us. I pray over this week as we do VBS craziness, Father, I know this building is going to be rocking back and forth. In all the fun, the sweat, and the joy, I pray Your name's exalted, and little kids will say, you know what? I understand. And I see Jesus. We bless Your name, Christ. Amen. Amen.